Blog Talk
Radio. Uh-oh, sleep. In a food coma.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Look at it.
Hold on.
You good, Rob?
Your show started at 10:45.
Rob
was
at CP time.
Man, look. Oh, yeah.
That boy,
I'm on time,
that boy
though.
That boy sat down before the bell rang, didn't he?
according to your boy Tom Coughlin, you late, bro. Because Tom Coughlin said you got to be early at 15 minutes, bro. I'm just saying, man. Not right on time.
Man, that dude.
All right.
That dude got in right before.
Tom Coughlin,
the
old school.
I mean, that right there is impressive. He got here as soon as it hit the 11 on the nose. Like,
yeah.
You can only do that like a
yeah.
once every.
That was on time.
Well, you're not on time, bro. You're not on time. I don't care
on
what you
time.
Want to say. America, we apologize for our co-host, Rob Ford. But other than that, let's get this party started. Of course, you're talking sports for the 12th. Man, today, man, it is December, fellas. We are just moving right along. December the 6th, first December, first meeting with you guys. We are ready to get this party started. Of course, I am your host, Andre, joined by my fellow co-host. Let's check in with them first and foremost. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh man, I'm good now that I got that out the way on Sunday, but now I got a whole bunch to sit here and hear all the noise, complaints about my Buckeyes. It's okay. You got to be doing something right if people hate you like that.
There it is. Y'all won too, man. So you know it's all good, man. So we're not gonna we'll let you. We're here for intervention, Rob, for you, JQ. How about that? Okay, we're here, bro. We got more than enough time too, man. So keep that in mind.
Oh yeah. I'm glad it's not next week for sure.
There it is. It's all good. And let's check in with my fellow co-host, as JQ said, just getting in. He thinks he's on time, but according to Tom Coughlin, he's not on time. Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Hey, the listeners, as soon as we were on the airwaves, they heard my voice. That's all they need to know.
Baby.
He just beat the tag at home plate.
I am safe.
How you feeling this evening, bro?
Doing great, man. Let's get this party started.
All right. As always, let's throw out the pertinent numbers for those that want to reach out to your boys. The number to always call in is 424-243-9519. We are on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. We are on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you type in talking sports with the 12th man, you will find us in that arena as well. Gentlemen. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We have more than enough time. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling great. And let's kind of kick it off. We're going to talk about some college football stuff a little later on in the program, it seems like. But let's kick it off with the top five teams in the NFL. And Mr. Slacker, Rob, I'll let you go first, sir. Close your thoughts.
Hey, man, if you remember what your nickname always was the ultimate slacker. JQ don't know anything about that.
Say your comments before you get cut off, man. Say your comments, bro. Come on.
You've been cut off. All right. Dave Chappelle.
Got problems, bro.
Top five teams in the NFL. Got to go right up the road to Big D in Dallas. The Cowgirls. Mm-hmm. Got to give credit where credit is due. They keep finding ways to win on a weekly basis. So I got to go with them at the number one spot, 11-1. New England, I have them at the number two spot, 10-2. Belichick's still there. As long as he's there, they're going to find a way to win on a regular basis as well. And number three, Oakland. Derek Carr, one of the rising stars in the NFL. They get Murray back at the running back position. Another team on a weekly basis, finding ways to win as well. Number four, Kansas City. one of those sleeper teams, and this is one of those teams that just find ways to win on a weekly basis as well. They're getting it done with just enough offense. They're solid on defense, and they're really good on special teams as well. So I have the Kansas City Chiefs at the number four spot. Number five, Seattle. This is another team that I still, even though they lost Earl Thomas for the season, I still expect them to get even better as the season continues to progress.
I disagree with that statement about losing Earl Thomas, but we'll continue with that a little later on. Tell us a little bit more about your top five there, JQ.
I got all the same five things, actually. I feel the same way about Seattle. I think they'll try to find a way to still play good defense, but I don't think it'll be great because that's a big blow losing Earl. The only ones I would switch around are two and three. I think Oakland has earned that two spot. That was impressive. That comeback against Buffalo. And you can argue they shouldn't have been down that much to Buffalo, but the fact that they came back and won to remain in first place there is a good job by Oakland. We were on them a little earlier in the season. But, you know, it's one thing to be on them in the offseason. It's another thing for them to actually fulfill that. So I got to give Oakland two, and then New England, we're at three. They still got Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. So they still are going to be a threat. But the rest is the same for me.
Yeah, good call. I'm actually going to agree with Rob as far as, you know, I do like the Patriots number two so far. But, I mean, like, it's not because of, you know, any Tom Brady love, but just because they're still, you know, up there. And, you know, kind of like Oakland, I do give them a lot of credit, but I'm not quite ready to anoint them just yet. They're a very young team. They're playing well, you know, so we'll see how that plays out from that perspective too. So good call in the top five, and love it, love it, love it. All right.
Shot so dog, that's Oakland,
about,
baby.
Yeah, yeah. Look at Rob trying to toast him. Man, I can't today. Let's talk about some other things, and gentlemen, I'm glad you did kind of bring some levity to that, Rob, because this has been a tough year for 2016. We keep losing a lot of people, not only in the sports field, but entertainment and just phenomenal people. So, you know, unfortunately, we lose another person. You know, obviously, Joe McKnight passed. And I think I was reading, guys, that the gentleman actually did get arrested for manslaughter. So the good news is that he actually is going to go to jail for that, or he's been convicted of that. But Rashawn Salaam, former running back for the Bears, former Colorado Buffalo, he actually passed. And if I'm reading the details about it, I think it may have been a suicide situation, but I got to get some more details.
Yep.
But I don't know if you want to talk about that, JQ, kind of bring some levity to the situation, sir.
Yeah, I saw that as well. It's really sad. I wonder if you scanned his brain, would he have CTE?
Yeah.
To do that at 42 years old, you know, that's tough. You know, 1994 Heisman Trophy winner, 2,000-yard season, which is just on its own, whether they want to have it or not, 2,000 yards at a Power 5 school is still a serious season. He didn't really achieve what, you know, we thought we might do in the pros, but you can't knock what he did for Colorado, especially in that year. It's just really sad to have that happen, and especially never anything good when you die at 42, but, to take your own life wherever he was in his headspace. It's tragic and sad. And 2016 has been rough. It's been incredibly rough. These days can't pass fast enough. I'm sorry to say that, but 2016 has been rough in terms of people dying. And another one gone too soon at 42.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts about that, sir?
Yeah, well, not a whole lot I can add to that. Just, of course, a sad situation. And you're just hearing about this way too often about former NFL players or former football players, I should say. This is the downside to the sport that we enjoy watching, as you start to hear too many of these kind of stories. And we don't know if it was related to football or brain injuries or anything like that. But, of course, we wouldn't be surprised if that is the case. Obviously, when you talk about from a football standpoint, you're talking about a guy who was a first-round pick by the Chicago Bears, one of those upright runners, if you remember his running style going back to Colorado and his brief career. Even some players, I mean, some scouts thought he could have been the next Eric Dickerson, but the way, you know, he ran the football and that upright style. JQ mentioned over 2,000 yards, 1994, Heisman Trophy winner. That Colorado team went 11-1 as well, so it was a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
he was on. So just a sad situation. You pray for our prayers go out to his family in this situation, and hope that the NFL and the football community starts to figure out a way to start to get a better handle on these things when it comes to concussions and brain injuries.
Couldn't have said it any better, Rob. Way to wrap that up. All right, gentlemen, moving right along. Let's talk about the next topic, in that the Seahawks lose Earl Thomas for the year. Now, I know, Rob, you said that, so you still think that the Seahawks can get better, and I'm on kind of siding with JQ in that. I mean, obviously, you can fill in the spot, but Earl Thomas is such a dynamic player that, you know, obviously this will impact that team, if you will. So there's been some also talk as far as him possibly retirement. You know, I don't know how serious that was. I think it was kind of too soon to say that. But, yeah, I guess let's kick it off with you, Rob. What are your thoughts about this and how it will impact the Seahawks moving forward in this particular season and possibly moving forward?
Well, absolutely. It's a big blow to their defense. You're talking about a guy who's been one of their better secondary performers since he's been in the league, since his rookie season. So it definitely is a big blow. I mean, they go out and sign Jaren Johnson. They bring him back, a guy who's familiar with the Seahawks. Played his first four seasons in the league, but obviously he's not Earl Thomas. But I still think they have enough. You're finally starting to see them utilize Jimmy Graham the proper way offensively, and Doug Baldwin, and their running backs are starting to get a little bit healthy. The offensive line was shaky in the early part of the season. They're finally starting to come around up front. You're getting Michael Bennett back on the defensive line. You know that's going to help them as well. So, I mean, obviously every team in the league is going to be dealing with injuries. I still think that going forward, I still personally believe that in the end, they might be the best team in the NFC when it's all said and done.
Better than the Cowboys, Rob.
When it's all said and done. Now, you may not be better than the Cowboys now, but I think when it's all said and done, I think they can certainly be better than the Cowboys.
Rob is hanging in Denver right now, so we're going to kick it to JQ and get your thoughts, sir. Go ahead, JQ.
No, I don't. Both I don't.
Eat every day.
I don't disagree with that. You got to remember also they're getting Cam Chancellor back here recently. It also helps solidify that defense in the back end. It's a tough blow for Seattle, and that's why I said I still think they can play good defense. Good to very good defense, but when you have Earl back there and get Cam back, like I mentioned, you can play great defense with Sherman on one side as well. So that's the difference in them, and that's why I had them down there at five. But I do agree with Rob, though, that if you give them a couple weeks of trying to adjust that scheme, what they already still have there, and hit the ground running going into the playoffs with that, they're still going to be very dangerous. And they're going to get a home game because their division is bad. So they're going to win that division still more than likely. So don't count Seattle out quite yet. It's just the road got a little harder than it would have been with Earl Thomas. Don't get me wrong. But I think they can still find a way to be that dangerous 2 or 3 seed and represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Nobody's saying that they're not going to be a talented team. They're not, you know, going to, like, drop off. I'm just saying that I think it's going to impact them a little more than they've been expected because, you know, they've been having some timely wins. That defense is pretty good. But like I said, I still think that, you know, right now it's a little too early, and somebody's going to test that defense. I mean, you know, we test the defense as Falcons, even though we weren't able to hold them down. But we'll see how it plays out too, man. So, you know, I'm giving the Seahawks a lot of credit. You know, who's the running back? Who's going to step up? It's amazing to me see that squad. They're just very well coached, you know. So, as far as being the representative of the NFC, we will see, man. I'm not a Cowboys fan by any means. So, you know, there's going to be some challenges for everyone in this particular instance, too. So that's just my two cents here. But speaking of that, let's kind of get into the NFL playoff contending situation. Let's talk about some interesting situations with the easiest remaining schedule. And go ahead, JQ, your thoughts about this, sir.
Well, when I was looking at those, I knew from fantasy as well, I like Tampa's chances of getting in on the back end of that because they get New Orleans. I'm sorry. That New Orleans defense is horrible. They get New Orleans 2 out of the next 3 weeks. And if they can survive some shootouts with Drew Brees, I mean, still, the New Orleans defense is going to be one of the worst defense that any of them play. Atlanta's schedule isn't bad as well. And then the Steelers, they get to play the state of Ohio again, so that's probably 2 wins for them out of the next 4. I hate to say that, but we just are bad. as a state. So for me, it's those three that stood out to me when I was looking at it.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Well, definitely. I think when it comes to the easiest, I actually think that the Falcons, I mean, you look at the next two games at the Rams and then at home against the 49ers, I think that should be sitting pretty for them. Then you go on the road at Carolina and then at home against the Saints. So when you look at those four games, I think your best chance for a loss will be at Carolina, you know, out of that group. Then you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. JQ already talked about it as well. You got at Buffalo. I mean, you have the Bengals and the Browns. I think Buffalo could possibly give them a game. Then you have the Ravens also could possibly give them a game as well. But other than that, I mean, you mentioned those two Cleveland, those Ohio teams would be two wins.
Money in the bank.
You look at Miami as well. You got the Cardinals and the Jets. The Bills is a winnable game. Probably the only surefire loss would be the Patriots. And who even knows, that's the last game of the season. The Patriots may be resting players. So who even knows with that? That could work in Miami's favor as well, that last game of the season. Seattle, another one. You got Seattle has the Rams, the Cardinals, and the 49ers in three out of the last four games. They go at Green Bay. I mean, it's going to be tough going to Lambeau Field. But you got three games that should definitely be wins on your schedule, and a maybe with the Packers. And last but not least, you look at Minnesota, the Jaguars, the Colts, the Packers, the Bears. All those teams are either 500 or below remaining on their schedule as well. So those are just some teams that are all competing for playoff spots that have some very easy schedules down the stretch.
I like it. And, you know, not that I'm going to go on a little tangent here, but interesting whenever we're talking about coaching and whatnot, too. And I look at the 49ers, and you talk about this is a very, very interesting situation. Shout out to Pops, to my father-in-law that's in Cali, because he's just like, the 49ers are unwatchable. And I think if you're Chip Kelly, you're thinking the same thing. He's ready to make that jump backwards, but that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, they're benching Colin. Blaine's no better. I'm curious to see what's going to happen in that and how it's going to impact a lot of things too, man. But that's just Andre's little side note about the 49ers, man, because I'm just – that's an interesting situation to say the least. You talk about a year that 2016 that they want to forget, the 49ers as well, man. So that's a whole other conversation, man. But anyway,
hey, listen,
sorry,
man,
guys.
You live here in Atlanta, and you're on this 49er West Coast talk. I mean, I know that, you know, you got family ties. Like, but we don't want to have 8 minutes of Chip Kelly and Colin Kaepernick talking, man.
You know what, JQ? Happy
wife.
Want
to be going
happy.
And Colin Kaepernick
happy
sold his. He hadn't sold it, but he put his San Jose house up for sale. So obviously, he doesn't think he's going to be back there either.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
no. No, happy wife, happy life, JQ, because my wife is over here. You know, she's a 49er. She's over texting me about some stuff, man. So I had to put that in there, man. So
I just harassed you because it's fun. Because you
okay.
Always talk about Atlanta love, man, but then you slide in about 3 or 4 minutes on the West Coast on us. I don't think it goes unnoticed. I see what you're doing there.
Tell you what, I know we have a lot of listeners in the Bay Area. I just want to say I'm sorry that you all are actually 49ers fans.
And then Rob takes it to, he's like Draymond Green, habitual line stepper. There you go, bro.
No, man, I set him up, man. I came to the net, I hit him with that bump, and then he came to the net and spiked it. That's that 1-2 punch.
Oh my god. We got to talk about Rob. He always likes to talk about Patriots and stuff like that, man. That's another conversation too. So you know, topic about the Patriots and so either Rob, you're saying the Patriots are going to be the representative for the AFC for the Super Bowl, and now you're talking about this without Gronk. So, yeah, bro, what are your thoughts, bro?
I still think they could definitely go to the Super Bowl and even still possibly win it without Gronk. I mean, Martellus Bennett is not Gronk, but I think he's still a solid weapon. And, I mean, Belichick's going to find a way to be competitive. And so, I mean, I'm just convinced, regardless of who you have on that roster, he's going to find a way to be competitive. And I still have no doubt that they'll still be in contention. I'm not going to say they're going to win the Super Bowl, but But I wouldn't be surprised if they did win it. I'll just say that.
JQ?
I mean, they're I agree they're a contender to get there. I don't know if I will put any bet money on them to win. But, yes, Bill Belichick will find a way to use those running backs and Edelman and Hogan out there in that short passing game. Then let the rookie Mitchell also go deep on them as well. So he'll find a way to be in it, but that's a big loss. That's a huge loss for them. I still think the way this is going right now that the – not even the Super Bowl winner, but the Super Bowl representative from the AFC, I think it's coming out of that AFC West.
Yeah. Interesting. Huh?
Kansas City. Shot dog, baby.
Don't forget, if they get Simeon back and he just is competent, that don't count that different team out quite yet.
I think
so. Speaking of that, let's go right to the predictions here. So yeah, the pretty much one of the big game, you know, Oakland at Kansas City, and as much as I gave him like Alex Smith a lot of crap, man, he just freaking figured out a way to just not make too many bad decisions, and that defense is just good enough, and they're playing with a lot of confidence, man. So what do you think about this particular example, or excuse me, this particular game? Oakland's traveling to a pretty tough place in Kansas City. So what are your thoughts about this game, JQ?
You know, I waffled on because, like you just said, Kansas City's a tough place to play. But if you look at Oakland's record, I believe when they got off to that hot start, they started like 5-0 on the road. I mean, they've been really good on the road this year.
Mm-hmm.
Four and one. Yeah, I'm going to go with Oakland and that road record. And just they just seem to have a magic about them right about now that, you know, if you stay away from Eric Berry, you know, for the most part, you know, work on the defense and not throw right at him, Matt Ryan, then, you know, you can still find a way to beat Kansas City. Kansas City doesn't have a lot of weapons. Macklin's supposed to come back, but coming back from a groin, you don't know how good he's going to be. It's going to be a lot of wear and Kelsey. But I think they can hang in there and go on the road and get a victory in Kansas City, make a statement.
Rob?
I like Kansas City in this game at home. I mean, that stadium gets really loud. These are two teams that still really hate each other going back to the 60s. And so when the Raiders and the Chiefs play against each other, you're talking about it is a one huge rivalry. I had an opportunity to attend a game there early in the season. That is one loud outdoor stadium. And I like the Chiefs to find a way to win this game. I think it's going to be close. And but, yeah, I like the Chiefs to win this game. I think their defense forced a few turnovers. Like I said, they're going to make a play here and there on special teams. They're going to play all three phases of the game, and they'll win this game in the close one.
No, when I was in Kansas City eating bacon baked beans, I was watching the Chiefs play at Arrowhead.
Barbecue baked beans
exactly
in Kansas City all the time. I will tell you that.
see, JQ. I will agree with Rob, though. That's pretty funny. I think Kansas City is going to win this, man, only because the environment, and I think they're going to do just enough. I mean, like I said, Oakland's a young team. They do have a little magic, but this is going to be a great game. But I think Kansas City is going to find a way. Either special teams, they're going to make a play somehow, and they're going to pull that out, man. So, and we'll talk about Eric Berry a little later on because, Eric, I'm making a personal plea for you to join the Falcons, man. So give me a call. Tell your mom to give me a call. We can make that happen, bro. That's what it's all about because we need you, man.
Came back
to his
hometown and got a 2-point on him.
I know, man. He got like – He got like 8 points, man. I think he scored more than some teams. Yeah. They were comparing that. Yeah, I think somebody scored like 6 points. He outscored like what the 49ers had. Again, sorry, somebody else. But yeah, it's crazy. All right, it's gonna be a great game though, no matter what.
Dolphins.
Let's talk about Dallas at the Giants. This is another very, very intriguing matchup. And JQ, does the buck stop here for Dak and Zeke Elliott?
You know what? It's crazy, and it happens this way. I think the Giants do sweep them. And the reason why is that I think, because remember, they gave them the first loss. Dallas has just clinched a playoff spot, and I wonder if there's going to be a little bit of complacency. New York is still fighting to get in, you know, in the NFC. You know, once that week that just passes, when you get in, you're like, you know, no matter what we do from here on out, you know, we're going to make it, and you already have 11 wins. I mean, they want to get that win. Don't get me wrong. They want the revenge piece of it. I think it's a piece of it. But I still worry about having that hunger. Once you find out that everything you prepare for the most part, is on its way by making the playoffs, that next week when you don't really have everything to play for, you may not meet the Giants' intensity. I think the Giants pull off the upset.
This would be the game too where Jerry Jones says, "Hey, why don't you go ahead and play Tony Romo? Get some. You know, I don't know.
Come on,
saying.
Man.
Go ahead, Rob.
Nah.
I agree with JQ on this one. I think Dallas number one. I think they're due for a letdown. I know they played a close game against the Vikings this past week, and you could say that was somewhat of a letdown. But no, I think they're due for a letdown. And I think the Giants will be hungry in this game. Obviously, this is a must-win situation for them. They're battling for a wild card spot. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to be hungry, and I think Dallas is due for a letdown. I like the Giants at home.
All right. I'm going to go Dallas because I just got to go different from you guys, man, just because I can do that. Let's talk about
– You just like being on the loser side, one or the other.
Rob, you're kind of talking a lot tonight, bro, for being like late, bro. But we'll come back around.
Yeah, I was on time. America heard me
were,
on
bro.
Air at
you were
11
time,
Eastern,
bro.
10 Central, 5 p.m. Hawaiian time.
If I don't click the button, bro, you're not on, bro. I'm just saying. Let's keep this moving. Let's talk about Baltimore at the aforementioned New England. And you talk about a Baltimore squad that they keep winning, Rob, kind of surprisingly. Not like that, but just they're slowly but surely kind of like, you know, kind of in the cut there, you know. So tell me about this particular matchup, sir.
Well, this might be the one week where JQ is actually rooting for the Patriots, and I think the Patriots are going to get him too. And obviously the Patriots at home, I just think
zero,
they're
zero
team. And the Ravens are somewhat surprising because I didn't think they would ever be in first place this year in their division. And but things have just kind of went their way in a lot of games this year. But I like the Patriots here at home.
JQ,
yeah, no, I'm not
Patriots.
Rooting for anybody. Yeah, no, I'm rooting for a tie. I hope it's an ugly rain snowfield game where it's like 3-3, and they just say, you know what, let's just stop playing because I don't want to see either one of them succeed. But I think in a very close game, I still think New England finds a way to beat Baltimore. I'm just not a Joe Flacco believer. If you're going to give me Joe Flacco versus Tom Brady in New England, I'm gonna go with Tom Brady. He's got to show it to me repetitively for me to believe in. I just don't.
Hey, Giselle, thanks you for that too, by the way, JQ. Good job, bro. let's do some fantasy shout-outs. Go ahead, Rob.
All right. League number one, the biggest winner of the week, co-host JQ, the Ohio Players, beats Eagles Chicks for Life. Man, you're not supposed to beat up on women like that, man. Come on, man.
What?
164.64 to 96.76. First place in the league. Andre, how you going to pay for that fine?
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie, in first place. 10-3 record. League number two, Boxcar Willie, 0-2. Mark from New Orleans with a big win over Bears Nation, 162.50 to 87.86. He is also in first place at 11-2. League number three, the L's Coleholics. Also from New Orleans, 122.20 win over Irvin's team, 69.86. My co-host, the Ohio Players, in first place in that league with a 12-1 record. Fantasy basketball, yours truly, the Orleans Buck Jumpers with an 8-0 victory over Anthony Davis, the new 23. And also the champ is here, 8-0 over Madison, Madhouse on Madison as well. Yours truly's team, Orleans Buck Jumpers, in first place at 38-10. Thank you all for competing with us. And I know we're getting ready to end our live portion of the show. So we'll be back on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha, will be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Our OT portions are now going to be sometimes extended. So definitely click on the same link on tomorrow. We'll have more talking sports for you on tomorrow. Good night, people.
If you would have joined earlier, you would know that we've got like 15 more minutes until it jumps off of that, man. But, you know, that's what we do, bro. No, we got extended, man. We got a little extra time, man. So
I didn't get the memo, man. What's up with that?
That's okay, but no, I said no, but all was well, man. So we got a little extra time. So we got about 15 more minutes as we kick it off. So right at 11:45. So for those that are listening to, even though Rob gave some fantasy shout outs, we got a little extra time for you. So we'll see how that plays out too. Tell us your thoughts, everyone, if you like a little extra time talking to your boys, because we always feel like 30 minutes may not be enough to get everything in. So we're going to extend it for a little while and kind of go from there too. So, just because we enjoy talking, we enjoy giving you the sports, and, obviously as it continues on, this is going to be great for us as well too. So, Rob, appreciate the fantasy shout-outs as always.
All this time.
And I got to tell you too, yeah, JQ, man, thanks for beating Eagle Chicks for Life, man. She was talking a little junk, man, whenever she beat me last time, man. And Gentilly,
I saw that.
Good game, man. Yeah, man, Gentilly came back, and it's been tough, man, holding that top spot, man. I had, a couple of losses here, very close losses, and I know I'm kind of marked, man, but it's all good. It's all good. I need to go ahead and wrap up this win, if you will.
Playoff
so
time now, people,
cents.
Fantasy football.
I know. Rob, how come Brandon Cook
didn't
give me Jack, man? That's killing me, man. Your boy ain't giving me nothing, man. I'm just saying.
Hey, man,
yeah, but how about that?
Could throw the ball to 10 different receivers every game.
How about
man,
Sterling 12-1 record?
Yeah.
Yeah, sir.
It's all good.
You know who the only team to beat you in that league, right?
Yeah, by like 7 points, too. Like, I didn't get whooped. I barely lost.
Hey, man, still the only team to beat you, though.
Hey,
win is a win.
I'm sitting outside,
though.
Win is
a win.
I can't get props though.
And JQ, bro, and this was a lot of love to you, bro. What was your draft pick in that league? Were you like number seventh, or where were you drafting in that? Were you drafting earlier, or were you drafting later for that?
No, I was drafting. That was the third one. I was drafting later in that one.
Is
okay.
That the league where you have Antonio
too.
Brown?
It is. I don't think I drafted.
Yeah,
I know. I did draft first that league. You're right.
Yeah.
I do have Antonio Brown.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the league you have Antonio Brown.
Okay.
I know that's the league you had number one pick.
That's correct.
Okay. You just sitting on Derek Carr, bro. You didn't go ahead and trade him to me, bro. How about that?
How about the Derek Carr Tom Brady combo draft? That was pretty good. It's working out well.
you got it, bro. Got it. Good stuff, good talks. All right, so we're going to say that, we got a lot of stuff to talk about because this gives us a good almost 30 minutes to talk about some college stuff too. But before we get into that, let's definitely talk about there's a big trade that happened. Chris Sale was traded from the Chicago White Sox to the Boston Red Sox. You kept hearing about this. I know the Braves were kind of thinking about this, but it appeared that the asking price that Chicago would not budge on was they want a lot of prospects, and all it takes is the right partner to dance with. So JQ, what are your thoughts? Is this a good move for the Red Sox? I mean, obviously they you lose Big Papi, so maybe they need some excitement, you think, but is this a good move for them? Did they give up too much, or is it just right? Or and then what do you think about how this is going to end up for the Red Sox on both sides, if you will?
Oh no, I mean, you've got to make that move, and I say this all the time, you have to take production over potential. You cannot continue to hoard draft picks and hot prospects. No, get me wrong. Mercado is a big piece of that trade, and he's supposed to be the next big thing. But the next big thing don't always turn out to be the next big thing. So if you can get a dependable ace in Sale, and you put him, and I don't think David Price is a one, so that puts him back as like a two or a three, and you got Porcello. That Red Sox starting lineup is just dangerous. You already know about you lose the team, but you already know about the position players. I mean, they went all in, and I like it. And I'm not a Red Sox fan, but like I don't see the point of just sitting here holding on to things when you can make that kind of deal. That's a game changing deal in the American League if everybody pitches how they can pitch next year. It's gonna be hard when you get Porcello and Sale and Price in a Friday through Sunday set in your home ballpark and you score three runs in 3 days and you're like, what just happened? Like, that's a good move for the Red Sox. I just don't know how you can knock it.
All right, I'm gonna kick it to Rob, man, because apparently, he had a little problem in Chicago. He got suspended.
Like, he was
some rage. He cut up some uniforms. On what he was thinking about?
Yeah, but the dude can pitch though. He was ready to be done with that. He was ready to be done with that when LaRoche got kicked off the team for having his son in the clubhouse. He was officially done with the White Sox then, and they knew they had to trade him. That's a piece of this. So I don't think you get all of that crazy because that just he just had a special level of hate for Ken in that White Sox front office. So I get what you're saying. He was tripping. You can't cut the uniforms of everybody with scissors. You just can't do that as a grown man. But the dude can flat out pitch.
Yeah, so and this is the last part too because apparently there's some also talk about how his delivery, his mechanics, if you will, he may not last that long there. You know the way that they're talking about comparing him to Tim Lincecum. You know, even though he had a great couple of years, then obviously, you know, he ran into some problems. You know, because of the fact that he has a funky delivery. So, is that something that the Red Sox should be worried about, or should they change that?
You'll take one World Series right now over Mankato becoming, even if Mankato becomes great, do you automatically win, you know, the World Series with him if your rotation is not what it would be with having, say you get 3-4 good years of sale with those other two guys and what you got around them and you win a championship. It's still a good trade. Yeah, everybody's going to sell a World Series title for that one dude who may or may not re-sign with you after his 4 or 5 years come up in his service time. You know what I mean? Like, when you can get a championship or you can put yourself in the championship conversation, you have to make that move.
All right, Rob, so on you, sir. What are your thoughts?
Well, I can tell you, Brian Cashman, the New York Yankees general manager, he was wowed by the trade that Dave Dombrowski, the general manager of the Boston Red Sox, was able to pull off. Brian Cashman's exact words, Red Sox got their Kevin Durant in Chris Sale trade. Officially, he's calling the Boston Red Sox the Golden State Warriors of Major League Baseball. Obviously, he feels like this is a big trade for the Boston Red Sox. I mean, when you add Sale along with David Price, as JQ mentioned, and the reigning Cy Young Award winner, Rick Porcello, you definitely got the best starting pitching lineup in the American League, and you automatically put them as contenders for the American League Championship on next year. I know we felt the same way about the Mets this past season, but it didn't kind of work out. But, you know, we'll see going forward. I mean, like I said, this is a huge move for the Boston Red Sox, and it definitely puts them in contention right away.
Yeah, but the thing about it is the Mets don't have – the hitting that Boston does, even though you lose Ortiz, you still got Pedroia, you still got the Killer Bees. Like, you still have some nice hitting pieces that, you know, outside of Cespedes, the Mets don't have, you know, through that lineup. So, I agree.
Yep.
It's the same kind of setup, but I would take Boston's lineup over the Mets lineup.
Yep. Yeah, I think this was a move to, like you talked about, I'm not quite yet ready to call it the Kevin Durant of the baseball world, but you know, it was definitely a pretty big move, and it may shift some power. It was a bold move, and it definitely proves to the Boston Red Sox fans that, you know, they're like you said, Rob, they're going to win. They're looking to win. I agree with you, JQ, as far as you take production over potential all the time. You know, sometimes we'll see how it plays out for sure. You know, they traded a lot. Like you said, if they go to the World Series, then, you know, no one's going to be talking about this as well. We can talk about the Cleveland Browns, and they could have had Coolio, but they're still like, and all the quarterbacks they passed. So you take production, if you will, you got to go with it too. So in the day, we'll see how that plays out for sure.
I want to ask you a quick question. I want to ask you a quick question.
Sure.
About that.
Yeah.
Because we talked about this from the Boston side. From the White Sox side, and I asked the front earlier, and I just want to get your take on it, is why for the White Sox do you necessarily make this move right now? Because, yes, you're getting this golden prospect that everybody has coveted. But if he turns out to be that guy, the same reason why you can't keep sales because you're not trying to have a big payroll and you're not turning it around in 2 or 3 years, aren't you just trading sales for somebody that's maybe, you know, turn into a monster that you can't re-sign anyway and you're going to be in the same position with this dude in 3 or 4 years when he accumulates the service time? You know, like, I feel like it's just a kick in the bucket down the road, so to speak, where unless they show a willingness within the interim to start spending more money to keep the stars in Chicago for them.
Rob, you want to comment on that first, or you want me to take that?
Well, let me just make sure I'm understanding the question. You're saying why would the White Sox make this trade when they're probably not going to have the money to sign the star prospect in a few years?
Correct.
Well, I think, and I struggle with the way the Major League Baseball, the way the league is structured. You know, I hate the fact that there's, you know, there's such disparity in the profitability of their organizations. To whereas, you know, the NFL and the NBA is structured a little bit different, to where most of the revenue in both of those sports are shared amongst all the organizations in the league, but that's not the case in Major League Baseball. And so you have, and you would think of a team being in a market like Chicago, even though they share it with the Cubs, that you would have the revenues to be able to keep these kind of players around. I guess the best way for me to answer it would be is that the White Sox are looking to just start fresh and see what they can do to rebuild and see if they can, you know, grow something, you know, kind of fresh and brand new. I guess that would be the best way for me to answer it. They weren't competing with Sale, so maybe we just need to restructure and see what we need to do to rebuild our organization. But I hate the way Major League Baseball is structured from that standpoint.
I got you.
I'll go a different direction. I mean, I think I understand what you're talking about too, because there's a couple things, and we'll talk about this, about what happened with Chicago. I mean, Chicago, the reason why they made the trade was because, like I said, they were happy to get something. They were like, I'm surprised that they were able to pretty much handcuff some teams to get something for this guy, because, you know, I don't think he was going to be there anyway. So for them to, if you would have waited, I think he probably could have, like, you know, bought him cheap, if you will, you know. And I say cheap because I really don't think they wanted him anyway, because this dude, not only we talked about how he was a cancer in the locker room, he led to Adam LaRoche's retirement. I mean, this dude was just like, you know, and I don't know if it was he wanted to be gone. So
that's not what happened.
Well, I'm just,
Adam LaRoche's homeboy. He was mad at Adam LaRoche that somebody else complained about it. Because did you not see that interview? I'm just stopping you because that's not what it is. He is Adam LaRoche's homeboy.
Okay,
he's mad at the front office for getting rid of
Adam
LaRoche.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking something else. Okay, I got you. So thanks for clearing that. Well, basically, because of I think there was a previous manager. That's what I was thinking about for that, too. But
yeah,
from what I'm saying,
okay,
the Red Sox, they signed, you know, your boy Makata to a huge bonus. So, you know, it's a situation right now where if you're the White Sox, you're pretty much controlling this interest. I mean, like I said, they're not really losing anything in that instance of getting rid of Sales. I mean, yes, a potential all-star pitcher, yada, yada, yada. You know, but it's like I'm trying to figure out the best way to say it. In other words, like, they're like, well, we're not gonna have them anyway, so let's get something for them while we can. So, you know, the fact that they got something, you know, I know that he could have gone to the Nationals, so I'm happy about that. But, you know, it's like,
no,
White Sox, good job, man. You actually got something, man. So fair enough for that too. So I'm with you. All right, so we literally got a minute until – we're 2 minutes until – I'm curious as far as how Blog Talk's going to give us that little warning here, so I'm going to let it kind of roll. I think we actually have until 12. So, you know, we're going to do our two-minute warning probably like at 11:58. So let's keep this going here, because I want to spend the rest of the time talking about the New Year's Bowls here that we got here, and just some early predictions, because it was a pretty fantastic weekend. Oh, they are giving us 90 seconds. All right, we got to wrap this up here. So go ahead and give that OT portion, Rob, as we get ready to wrap this up, sir.
Once again, we'll be back on live next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Hawaiian Time, so you don't want to miss it. We'll be talking, obviously, more football, maybe some Major League Baseball. The winter meeting is going on. Maybe we're going to get some more news and some more news. Some trades, and also, of course, we got college basketball kicking off and NBA action. So we're going to cover anything that's happening in the sports world at that particular moment on next Tuesday night. We still got our OT portion to get to, so click on the same link tomorrow. We still got some college football we're going to get into here shortly. So if you want to hear our predictions of the Big Six bowl games and our national championship preview, stay tuned. Click on the same link for that on tomorrow. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Stay classy, San Diego. Go Bucks.
I love it. And the lady was talking to me.
Yeah, hell no.
The lady was talking to me, but I didn't think it was going to happen. But that's why I had to, like, literally end it, because I thought I had a little bit more time. So you had a little, you know, talking. So anyway, thank you, America.
Appreciate you. See you same time, same channel next week. All right, guys. Let's keep it going here. Let's talk about some bulls here. And I guess the thing that I'm pretty excited about was because it was a pretty great college weekend here for the playoffs. We were talking about, and I know we were texting back and forth, JQ, man, you talk about what a great game between Washington and Colorado. And Chris Peterson, man, what he's doing in Washington has got to be pretty impressive. I know before at Boise State, you know, no one really wanted to go, and, you know, maybe he didn't get the best athletes on that blue kind of turf field. But Boise State was still tough out. Now it seems like he's getting the recruits, and I'll be the first to put my reputation on the show. But like, I think they can give Alabama a pretty big challenge if everything plays correctly too. Because
you stop that.
I'm just saying. No. I'm just saying. I like what I'm seeing, bro. But you know, I'm just saying.
See, Rob, I tell you, man, he got that West Coast bias, man. He's developing it more and more. The West Coast, yeah, no, hell no.
What's up, Big Mike? Shout out, right?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. I couldn't let that ride.
Just for that, Rob, speak your mind, bro.
Well, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, of course, is going to be held in Atlanta. Obviously, Alabama being the number one seed, so they got the pick of out of the two semifinal sites, Atlanta and, of course, Phoenix, Arizona area. This game is still going to be somewhat of a home game for Alabama, and they are the better team, in my opinion. So I think I definitely am going to go with Alabama. And what you said, Chris Peterson, you're exactly right about Chris Peterson. I think he's a phenomenal coach. He's done a tremendous job, you know, with 2- and 3-star recruits in Boise State and developing those players, and some even all going on to the NFL. And that program, I think, is still living off what he started. And now he's turned around Washington. He's getting these elite athletes. And I'll be honest with you, people, this was not supposed to be the year for Washington. Next year was supposed to be the big year. So I think next year could be the year where they really might have a chance to compete for a national title. I mean, they're competing this year. They won the Pac-12, and they're in the Final Four. But they won't advance past Alabama in this year's matchup.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You said next year they're going to compete. Like, dude, they in the college football playoff this year, which is correct. Because they're not competing this year for real. This is just fodder for the Alabama machine. I'm sorry. The only team that they lost to was USC with all that speed. Guess what they're going to see when they go up against Alabama? Whoa, Nelly. That's going to be bad. Alabama big. That's a home game from Tuscaloosa to Atlanta compared to Seattle. Home game. That's going to be like 90-10 Alabama fans.
It is a home game for them, but I like Washington, man. We'll see.
I told you.
I'll be rooting for Washington. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I would definitely be rooting for Washington.
I'll be rooting for Washington. There's no doubt about that.
All the whole Clemson and Ohio State fan bases will be rooting for Washington.
yeah, I know. It's a whole other conversation.
Not to sidetrack, but did y'all hear the comment when the reporter asked Chris Peterson? A lot of your fan base is holding up signs. We want Bama. Chris Peterson said, I never held up that sign.
He said, be careful what you wish for.
I never held up that sign. Be careful what you wish for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he sound like Lou Holtz over there. Man, they're just too good. I can't do it. I don't know how they're gonna do it. but like I said, you know, they got, you know, the machine. You know, we'll see. I mean, the freshman quarterback, we'll see how he pulls it off, man. I mean, I'm not saying that, but we'll see.
Okay.
So next game we've got, I'm just saying, and as much as I'm talking about the playoffs too, because I'm thinking about, as much as I give Bob Stoops a lot of crap, you know, Baker, what's his name? You know, Baker Mayfield. That dude was going nuts, man. So him, Westbrook, they were just running up on Oklahoma State. So just an interesting game. And I think Stoops, I mean, I'm not going to totally like jump off the thing and actually, you know, say he's like the worst coach ever anymore, but that was, he got good players, man. So that, you know, so I'm going to kind of ease up on that. But,
right now?
I am. But, you know, but tell us the next four, Rob, keep it moving here, Rob.
second bowl. Go ahead and give us your other bowl here. We got a couple bowls here. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I mean, since we're on the topic of Oklahoma, let's just skip to the Sugar Bowl. We'll come back to the Fiesta.
Yep.
Well, I mean, Auburn against Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl. I like Oklahoma. I mean, there's your boy Bob Stoops. And, you know, and in big games, it's hard to predict what Oklahoma team is going to show up. They started off slow this season, and they went on a roll, went to the Big 12 undefeated. But I think Auburn, even though they got this Sugar Bowl bid, there's a big gap in the SEC between that one team and two team. And I like Oklahoma in this game by at least two touchdowns.
Oh, no. I've seen enough times now. I'm not gonna go against my boy Dre no more. Listen, I'm going with Auburn for no other reason. They are playing Bob Stoops, Oklahoma Sooners, for no other reason.
Oh,
all right, okay.
I'm going with Auburn.
I did not see that.
That
Let's
way,
talk about
game.
The PlayStation, the Fiesta Bowl here. Ohio State versus Clemson. What is up with that? What are your JQ, bro? What you thinking, bro?
it's gonna be a dogfight. Clemson has a really good team. They got a solid defensive line, and you got to talk about Watson with Leggett. I don't know if he really got hurt in that game, but and of course Mike Williams and Ray Wright. They've got a lot of weapons, and you can't forget about the running back. Shoot, name just Gallman. They got a good team, so that's gonna be tough for Ohio State. But I think they can score enough on that defense. To play a little, you know, basically, it's going to be basically like arena football. I really think that's what's going to happen. That's not going to be one of those SEC 10-6 games. It's going to be one of those 31-28 kind of games out there in the warm weather in the Fiesta Bowl. Of course, I'm going with my Bucks. I mean, come on. I'm going with Ohio State. But in a very close, competitive, really good game, that's going to make me lose another 3 years off of my life watching it.
It's going to be a great game. Rob, what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I like Ohio State in this matchup, too. I think it's going to come down to which team is going to play the best defense in this game. And I have a little bit more confidence in Ohio State's defense than I do Clemson's defense in this game. So, and Clemson is a little weak on the offensive line. They've been getting by with it this season, and because they still have very good weapons on the perimeter. And, of course, you have Deshaun Watson, who's going to help that offensive line out quite a bit by buying a little extra time. So I like Ohio State in this matchup. I think the game's going to be really close. I can see a 3-7 point victory. I like Alabama and Ohio State. Where's the national championship game this year? I believe it's in Tampa. If I'm not mistaken,
yep.
I could be wrong. But I like I like Ohio State and Alabama down in Tampa, and I like Alabama to win a national title.
Go ahead with the other bowls, Rob.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, you know who I'm picking. Go ahead. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know who I'm picking.
Hey.
You don't have to spend time on it. Go ahead, Go ahead, Rob.
What did JQ tell you when you picked Washington over Alabama? Just stop it. So that's the same thing with him thinking Ohio State over Alabama. Just stop it, JQ.
Listen, that's what they said last time. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, man. Keep it going, Rob, with the next bowls, man.
All right, we got the Orange Bowl. This should be a pretty intriguing matchup, Michigan against Florida State. Florida State's starting to play better, and I think this is another team that's going to be set up for success next season as well. This Florida State team should be better. Both of these teams, I believe, will be better next season as well. But I like Michigan in this particular matchup. Even though the game is down in the Miami area, I think they're just a little bit better than Florida State at this point. But I think this game is going to be really fun to watch, and it's going to be close.
Intriguing matchup as well. Go ahead, JQ.
Really? You don't know who I'm going to pick?
He's going to go.
You know I'm not picking.
He's going to Florida State.
You know I'm not
He's
picking.
He's going to Florida State. Yeah.
You know
all the way, bro.
Absolutely.
That was funny, Rob. Maybe to the Texas sport. Not to cut you off, JQ, or whatever you said. What Urban Meyer figured out what his initial stood for. But that was funny. That was funny, man. You know,
yeah.
So I'm just saying that was pretty good. Sorry, JQ. I didn't get that.
I'm glad you got kicked out of that. I'm going with Florida.
Yeah, man.
Dalvin Cook.
Sound like you.
Oh man, UM, right?
Yeah, UM. Like, all right. Realizes what it is. So stand for University of Michigan. Oh man. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh,
you keep
winning.
Rose Bowl,
no matter the day.
All right. So, got the Rose Bowl. This should be another intriguing matchup. USC is red hot, going up against Penn State, the Big Ten champions. And I actually like USC in this game. I think their speed is going to give them fits. They're playing a game in their backyard. I like USC to win this game, and this gives them also tremendous momentum going into next season as well.
I agree with everything that Rob just said, all the same reasons.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm going to kind of leave it open, guys. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
I was about to say, the last of the Big Six is the Cotton Bowl, Wisconsin versus Western Michigan. I know Western Michigan is undefeated, but I'm going to go with Wisconsin and pull them, give them their first loss.
Agreed. I got to go with one of the other Big Ten schools. It just can't be a destruction of us. But I honestly think that Wisconsin gives the Big Ten the best chance out of the other ones. And for all the reasons you just said, Western Michigan, Corey Davis is a ridiculous wide receiver. But they don't have that speed that USC is going to bring to Penn State and that Florida State. Michigan has some speed a little bit, but they're more of a big, physical, ram it down your throat kind of team. They don't have a lot of perimeter speed. Florida State has a ton of perimeter speed. And I think that's really where you're going to see the difference in those particular two Big Ten matchups where it's not as good a matchup as Wisconsin getting the Western Michigan team. That's more built like them so they can still kind of stay with their own game plan.
Good call. Really quickly, guys, we've got 4 minutes here. Let's talk really briefly about who's going to win the Heisman. Obviously, a pretty interesting team. You got Jackson, Jabril Peppers. I got to check the list here. I'm just looking at who was invited right now to
D.D., Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield, and then Watson. Yeah, those are the four. I'm sorry, I was getting to it. I was reading it. Yeah, you beat me to the punch. So,
sorry,
who's going to win it? No, that's perfect, JQ. Who's going to win it? We got like 3 minutes to wrap this up. So what are your thoughts, JQ? Who do you think is going to pull this off?
I'm staying with it since he's burst on the scene. Yeah, he's tailed off and cooled off. But what he did for those first 9 weeks of the season, I was just like, man, Lamar Jackson is just much CTV. His highlights are just ridiculous. I still think this is a very weak Heisman class. Don't get me wrong. Like, Oklahoma has two freaking finalists. Like, give me a break. It's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna be close.
Gotcha. Wow, Westbrook is the other guy. I think D.D. Westbrook. Okay, Rob, what are your thoughts, man?
I think Lamar Jackson is gonna win it as well. Obviously, same reason JQ said. He was just so dynamic early part of this season. I think Lamar Jackson is gonna win it. But if I had to vote, it would be Deshaun Watson.
Wow, interesting. Interesting call. I'm still, you know, it's tough because Jabril Peppers, he's got to live up to that expectation. You know, there's been only one defensive player to win that, and, you know, that was so dominant. Like, you go back to Charles Woodson, and I don't know if we're going to get another player like that in a minute to kind of just – that's dominant like Woodson in his time, man, just did everything. But Jabril is a good pick, but like you said, I think that offensively right now, that's kind of where we're going. I still think it's going to be Lamar Jackson, the first winner in Louisville history too, so – good call on that as well, gentlemen. I was going to say really quickly, I know we got 2 minutes here. I don't know if you want to talk about, maybe we can talk about this next week as far as the bowl game that you're excited to see. Your Mama Don't Dance Bowl, I don't know. There's a particular matchup
that's your Mama Don't
you guys
Dance
would
bowl.
Love to see.
Come on.
I'm just making up stuff. It's funny how they got all these bowls, the Sack Slayer. Yeah, it's crazy to me, all these freaking bowls, man. So it's nuts, man. But they got the National Funding Holiday Bowl. Come on, man. The Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl. I mean, it's just crazy to me, man. But, you know, just keep that in mind, guys, as we go into next week. You know, a game that intrigues you, a matchup that you're looking for, because, you know, we're now in the exciting part of the season here. So we got a minute. Go ahead and end this, Rob, and JQ, stay tuned. A minute, Rob.
Mm-hmm. 1 minute. Good night, people. Join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Klay Thompson. Should they have left him in the game 60 points at the end of the third quarter? He would have had at least 75. Steve Kerr wouldn't have let him play.
Easy.
Hey, listen, good night, good people. No, I mean, he was straight fire. But chasing records last year got them a little burnt out at the end. So Steve Kerr said, fool me once and not twice. You come sit down with your 60 points, bro.
Steve Kerr said Dean Smith was the only person to hold Michael Jordan under 20? He says, I'm the only person that can hold Klay Thompson under 80.
Hey, listen, he played a long game. I'm not mad at him.
Oh, you guys are crazy. Good night, folks. We'll see you guys same time, same channel next week. Good night, people.